it has been a busy couple of weeks when it comes to housing in Connecticut. Last month, during a two-day special session in Hartford, in what some lawmakers called an emergency situation, a massive housing bill did pass along party lines for the most part. Just before Thanksgiving, the governor signed that bill into law. There was just a ceremony, actually, highlighting it this week in Norwalk. And earlier this month, I know CCM had a meeting, and there were municipalities, including some here in Fairfield County, represented up at this meeting. And so I thought it was a good time to check in with Joe DeLong, who's the executive director and CEO of CCM, which, again, stands for the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. And, Joe, I always get this answer wrong, but you pretty much represent every single one except for like one or two, right? You represent like 167 municipalities in the state.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I never know if I get the number right. But yeah, I was like, it's basically every single one. And there's one that doesn't pay into it. There's another one that's sort of in, sort of out. But you basically represent every single municipality in Connecticut.
We do. And it's funny, the ones that aren't official members also still utilize us for a significant amount of their services. So we're involved in every community in the state.
Okay, perfect. And Joe, welcome back to the show. I always love chatting with you. How are you?
I'm great, Melissa. Thanks for having me. Happy Tuesday. It's always a great way to start the morning being on the air with you. So thanks for having me again.
Well, I appreciate that. And Joe, one of the things I always like to highlight as well, CCM is exactly that. It represents every town and city across Connecticut. And it's not a partisan group. This is a group that, you know, you have representation. Some are Republican, some are Democratic, some are independent, but it's coming from the town and city perspective for all 169. And I think that's a really unique group that you don't really see too often, whether it's in Connecticut or across the country. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not a politically driven group. This is really a town-to-town driven group.
It is. It's a peer group. And I will tell you, Melissa, one thing we always say is there is no Democrat or Republican way to fill a pothole, but every community has to do it. So this is a way that everybody can work together, can learn from each other, can lean into issues together. And it really is. It's a joy in some of the partisan nature of things that we deal with in other parts of our government. It's really a joy to see these local CEOs come together and put those differences aside and really work for the common good of all their communities.
And just to remind folks at home, Joe, CCM had a lot of conversations with the governor, his administration, lawmakers over the past few months before this bill went before both the House and Senate last month, correct?
We did. I mean, I think it's important to start back at the beginning where lawmakers really, at least the proponents of this legislation, did not seem to value the local input at all, frankly, during the regular session. We would try to meet with them and talk to them about the challenges of this bill, of the 5002, the original bill that passed during the regular session, and how it just would not work for many of our communities. And they frankly didn't care. I think the response that we got was, well, we have the votes. So after the bill passed, our organization, along with some others, went to the governor and asked for his veto. But we also asked for his veto with the understanding that the issue is real. We want to be a part of the solution. And if you veto the bill, we won't just go away. We won't just say, okay, we washed our hands up, we went away, we won. We'll come to the table with you and work with you to try to get to a better piece of legislation. And that's what we did for several months. And, you know, is it perfect? No legislation is. But it was a much better process to get to this bill that passed during special session, taking in local input.
So, you know, I'm curious, Joe, because did you see the bill language? I would imagine the answer is no, in some regard. You didn't see the official bill until it was presented to lawmakers up in Hartford during the session, correct?
Oh, no. For the special session, the bill that's passed.
Yes,
we saw the bill. We were in working drafts on that bill with the governor for several months. There were many versions of the bill that went back and forth. I will tell you one of the it was not our place being invited at the table to release the bill. It wasn't our bill to release. But I did, you know, really believe that the governor's office was handling things appropriately in their negotiations with the legislature, because if you hand out a bill too quickly that still has errors or still being worked through, then it creates a level of hysteria and everybody pointing out everything that's wrong with it. In several drafts of the bill along the way, there were a lot of changes and a lot of errors. And, you know, ultimately, when it got worked through, the governor's office and legislative leaders made their own determination on their process of when they were going to release it. But we saw this bill in several draft versions all along the way.
Do you like it?
Yes. It's, you know, it's much better than where we were. It's workable. It allows our communities a lot of tools to work together, as opposed to the top-down approach that 5002, the original bill, was. But let me say this, Melissa. I think this is the most important thing for me. In the end, you will never have – this bill is a great first step. But in the end, you will never have affordable housing with unaffordable property taxes. And that's just the reality of it, whether it's rents and what it does to rents or what it does to, you know, to squashing home ownership. And you can put somebody in a house very inexpensively, and if they can't afford the property taxes, they'll never stay in that home. And so what I hope will happen, which we haven't seen it yet, is some of these proponents, particularly some of these legislative proponents who call this a crisis, who think it's an emergency. I don't disagree with any of that. But they're also some of the same people that seem to ignore the property tax problem that we have in the state. And they're some of the same people who, frankly, will introduce or vote for legislation that will make the property tax burden worse. And So I think that we have to come to that reality that we have an equity problem. We have a regressive taxation system problem. And while this housing bill is getting a lot of attention and is a good step, if that step is not done in coordination with doing things about our high cost of living issue, and particularly our over-reliance on property taxes, I don't think that we'll see a whole lot of progress.
We're chatting with Joe DeLong, Executive Director and CEO of CCM. That is the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, representing every town and city across the state of Connecticut. Again, not a politically charged group. It's literally representation from every single town and city in Connecticut. So we're talking about this bill signed to law now, new housing, and you've said, Joe, that it's an improvement. It's much better than what was vetoed by the governor earlier this year after the last legislative session. You feel like it's a good first step. I got to admit, though, Joe, I hear a little bit of hesitancy in your voice. I hear a little bit of it.
Well, yeah, so my hesitancy isn't on this legislation at all.
Okay.
I think that you have to look at this legislation more holistically in the environment and the affordability environment that we're in. And it's great to offer ways to build more. It's great to offer ways to have more housing affordability, to build, you know, units that are designed to address an at-needs population. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. But I also think we're being very disingenuous or perhaps just lying to ourselves if we think that we don't have as much of an affordability crisis in Connecticut as we did a housing crisis.
Okay.
And how they go hand to hand.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa, as you know, our organization, we talked a lot over a year ago, where we did some work on at-risk and disconnected youth. And a group called the 169 Commission. And this all ties in. One of the reasons why we have these at-risk and disconnected young people is one of the same reasons why we have a housing crisis. And it's because we have an inequitable tax system at the local level where the state does not do its part, does not pay its bills, which leads to major pressures coming downhill on homeowners, on young people, on our education system. I point out to people all of the time, if the state had just, think about nothing else other than this, if the state had just adjusted how much it pays for public education to the rate of inflation, the state of Connecticut would be paying $450 million more today than what it's paying. That inflation didn't go away. That $450 million additional cost, or that proportional share that was being borne by the state, was all pushed into local property taxes.
Mm. So we're not prioritizing dollars well enough.
Problem.
Right. So it's not a matter of, you know, per se, creating all the time, creating more housing? Because that, of course, is one of the big takeaways, too, is that, OK, we keep seeing more and more of these places pop up, but nobody can afford them. So what does it matter? You know, you always hear the narrative that it's only making developers more money, but nobody is actually effectively moving into these places unless you're in the 1%. But what you're saying, Joe, if I can understand correctly, is that we're not doing a good enough job in this state prioritizing money, and we end up just putting it back on the taxpayers, essentially. We're like, hey, you clean up the mess. Yeah, you clean it up.
Mm-hmm. We don't address affordability. And we in politics, you couldn't do this in any other phase of life. But in politics is the one place, and we see the state do it all the time. In politics is the one place where the state can hand somebody a new $1,000 bill and then pass a $10 credit on their taxes against that bill, and then go out and run around and take a victory lap and talk about how wonderful that they are for giving you that $10 credit.
Right. It's called checkmark legislation.
They
right.
gave you additional $1,000
mm-hmm.
cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I call that
so
checkmark legislation.
That all the time.
Yep. Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. It's people reading the headlines and thinking something great happened, but not reading into the weeds. That's it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm curious, Joe. So I hear what you're saying, and I think you speak really eloquently on this. This is why I like talking to you, Joe. I think you make a lot of sense, quite frankly. I'm curious if you feel like, so you're okay with this bill that passed into law. Cool. And again, I do think they're going to, I hope they're going to keep working on this, building on this, and maybe not specifically this bill, but building on finding more affordability in the state. Do you think, though, this should have passed under an emergency circumstance without public hearings?
You know, let me say that I'm not trying to dodge that question because, you know, I'm a pretty direct guy.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have always tried to do is not dictate what the legislature should do within its process.
Fair.
They determine their process, and I don't want to make that determination for them. Now, what I will tell you is part of me being a very direct guy, I probably should have just ended my answer with that answer. This is where I get myself in trouble. But this
no,
is,
this is where I appreciate you, Joe, and so do our listeners.
This
no,
is
no,
the
no,
unfiltered
it's okay.
Honesty.
Yeah.
You know, with working with municipal officials that I represent, being at the table and working with the governor day in and day out for months to get this to a better product, I have to be honest, I didn't mind it being done in a special session when there wasn't a lot of time for lawmakers to start fooling with it and screw it up.
I get it. And honestly,
because,
I appreciate that, Joe, because here's the thing. I totally hear you, and I don't totally disagree with you, to be honest. And the reason I say that is because I think we had a lot of public outcry, which is why the governor vetoed it. I mean, the initial bill was vetoed because people spoke their voices, and their voices were heard. And so to your point, that's what they were tasked to do over the last 4 months, was to make something better. And so what you're saying is, if you then open up the floor to then public comment and everything, not to say that you should block people from it, but what you're saying is sometimes you got to get work done instead of delaying the process more than what we already have.
And the voices were heard. You know, people say there are no public hearings. Yes, there are public hearings on this very issue all during the regular session. You know, there was a lot of public input. There was a lot of, you know, going back and forth. There were a lot of people being, you know, engaged in the process in a different way. Whether it happened in the regular session or whether it happened in special session, I think we ended up with the best possible product that we were going to get within the environment that we were in. So
I hear what you're saying.
I feel good about that.
No, and I appreciate your honesty with that, Joe. And again, people don't have to agree or disagree, but that's what this show is meant for, is to be able to have honest conversation. And I appreciate, you know, your candidness, and I appreciate, you know, what you do. Again, with CCM, I think the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities, I know you have a lot of, you have basically every single town and city that's part of your group. I heard from, you know, actually, I didn't even know you were having a meeting last week. I heard from Monroe's first selectman about it because he was up there in Hartford. And I know that you have, again, bipartisan entities at the table. And so I appreciate what CCM stands for. I appreciate the work that you do and that you give us the time here on WICC, Joe. So thank you so much. And I hope you'll come back soon.
Well, thank you, Melissa. I appreciate you, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Absolutely.
You have a great week.
Thank you. You too. That is Joe DeLong, again, Executive Director and CEO of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities.